This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 332 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and this is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And this week, Alex, we're continuing on with our buddy Bruce Willis, going down Bruce Willis month, doing some of his standalone movies. So these are movies with no sequels. They were one-time movies. Three of them are 90s films, and one of them is an early 2000s film. So they're all in the same kind of range. And this week's episode, we're going to be doing Last Man Standing. So you already know, I have to ask you, A, because I always have to ask you two questions.
Okay.
Have you seen this? And B, have you heard of it before this?
Okay, so I will say this. I never heard of it or even saw it. I mean, one of our Patreons showed me a clip long time ago. He said, oh man, this you guys got to cover it. And then you put it on. And I was just like, oh, okay. So I know they did like a full Blu-ray thing they released.
We just got a new Blu-ray from Shout Factory.
Gotcha.
I had an old Blu-ray, but it was on a two-pack with The Last Boy Scout. So the last double feature, Last Man Standing, Last Boy Scout.
I saw it on Tubi. So
Tubi.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was free on Tubi with three commercial breaks.
So let's give you some stats. And then we got to talk about this movie. Okay. I got things to say. Some stats. Number one, again, this came out in 1996. This was directed by Walter Hill, who, if you are familiar with us, I've been reviewing a bunch of his movies over on our YouTube channel, Geeks and Flicks. Check it out. But this is not one that I have. It's not included in that box set. So Walter Hill, an action. I don't think he only does action movies. He does macho. I call them macho movies.
Men.
He makes movies for men. If women watch him, that's great. But like, it seems like his target audience is dudes. And this is also a remake or reimagining or updated version of the movie Yojimbo. Now, if you don't know what that is, an absolute classic by Akira Kurosawa. And then was remade into A Fistful of Dollars by Sergio Leone and Clint Eastwood. So when you watch this, Alex, if it felt familiar ever, that's probably why. Because if you've seen either of those two movies, it's the same, I'm doing air quotes, movie. So that's a little bit of backstory for you. Did you know any of these things, or did you get the sense once you started watching it, like, I've seen this before?
So I saw Yojimbo for the first time, and it was hard for me to watch because that was subtitles. And
subtitles.
So I was like, man, it was kind of hard to follow when they're doing stuff and they're talking at the same time. Fistful of Dollars is my joint. So I kind of put two together that they removed the Western and put Prohibition noir style.
Prohibition Western.
Yeah. So yeah, so I kind of figured it out.
Kind of felt it.
Yeah.
But not all the way, because we're going to talk about
it. Oh, no. Not.
Okay. Now, this. Let's talk some Rotten Tomatoes and let's get into this. So we have, not great, 42% critic score. I did read a couple of the blurbs. After I get the scores, I just like to see. Some people thought it was okay. Some people said this is a horrible movie. So 42% and a 51 audience. So neither one is fresh. Mm. But at least half of the audience liked it. Half didn't like it. Are you surprised by these scores?
No. Not at all. To be honest with you, no.
As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what I really think about them when we get to the end. Now, let's talk about our main character. Now, this is, of course,
John Smith. This is great.
This is Bruce Willis playing a guy named Smith, John Smith. Because, of course, he's the man with no name in the other movie. But here, he's John Smith, so he kind of still has no name. Alex, what did you think about John Smith?
Okay, so the first thing I thought of when the movie started and he starts to do his narration and he's like, you know, I'm driving here in a whatever. And I'm just like, holy hell. It reminded me of Sim City. Mm. Like his character in Sim City. He's kind of the same, right? He talks.
A little noir.
Yeah, had that noir talk. But, you know, I kind of liked it. I was like, Bruce Willis, when he does this type of movies, like the noir style, he fits. He has that face. He has that voice of like, I just met her in a bar and I'm about to take her upstairs. Show her my John Smith. And
introduce her to my John Smith.
To my Johnny Smith. So I was just like, okay, I kind of like that. Look, the action, with those guns, I don't know what kind of bullets he had, but man, those high velocity bullets, because he was shooting them across buildings, bro. And I was like, holy hell. I like that stuff. I like that he has a code about him. He kept switching between the two. They even confused me at times. I was like, oh my God, you on this side of the fence, you on this side of the mob. Like, pick a damn side already. Like, I'm already getting annoyed. But he was more about the money. He's like Han Solo, right? He was more about the money than the peoples. And then all of a sudden he has Zamora at the end with the Indian lady. Was it Indian girl from Mexico? Or was it a Mexican
girl? She was like a Mexican Indian, though. I think she was like, you know, okay. like a Taino Indian.
Yeah, so he had that, you know, and then bangs another white chick, and then she gets beat up.
The Italian guy's lady.
Yeah, and then she gets beat up, and he goes, I'll give her $500 because I didn't know the damage.
Gets her ear chopped off.
Yeah, I felt so bad. And then he got mad.
How's he gonna fix this?
Yeah.
I got no ear.
So look, at the end of the day, I gave him a 4. I think he's a good character. I think for noir, I think he's good. He's no Clint Eastwood, though. He ain't the man with, no. And he ain't no Kawasaki.
He's no Toshiro Mifune or whatever his name is. That guy. That's for darn sure. We might be going on opposite paths on this review. I gave him a 2. I did not like him. First of all, he whispers all his dialogue. He whispers through the whole movie. I had to turn it so loud, and then I had to lower it because the gunshots are so loud. So I'm constantly raising and lowering. I could have put subtitles, but I didn't feel like reading the whole movie. But he does all his dialogue. The voiceover you can hear okay, but when he's talking to other characters, I'm gonna get the money. I'm just here for the whiskey. I'm just here for the dame. Give me the girl. I'm gonna get you. I'm like, oh my God, please. You know, Clint Eastwood, he's the man with no name. He doesn't yell, but you could hear him when he talks. But he got so much swag in that movie, right? He's cool. Mifune, amazing. And humor. Like, that's what this one didn't have either. That movie has some humor to it. This is like straight serious. We're not telling no jokes, no humor. I laughed, but I'll tell you why. But no jokes. And he's just a sourpuss guy. And the problem is, like, because I've seen those other two movies, and this is literally just another remake of it, he's so worse, the worst version of this character by 30 miles. So I could see why you gave him a 4. It worked a little better for you. For me, And obviously there's no backstory because he's the man that just drives into town. Instead of a horse, he drives in an old Model T or whatever, Ford. I don't know what that thing is. So I gave him a 2. I didn't really like him.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not hear what he was saying. All right, now, villains. Everyone's bad in this movie.
Yeah. Okay?
They're all bad, but ultimately the final villain ends up being Doyle. He's the leader of the Irish mob, okay, played by David Patrick Kelly. And his henchman, this is kind of cool, Christopher Walken, as Hickey, who got a funny eye, and he's a good shot.
So we're going to do Doyle or Hickey?
Both. Combine them.
All right.
Doyle's the leader.
Okay, so with Doyle, I'm going to give him a 1. Doyle's whack. Doyle didn't do nothing except he had money. He was throwing it all over the place. And honestly, there's not much to it. I mean, he just kept getting getting the damn woman back. I mean, I was just like, holy hell. And he killed the other mob guy. He gave him the wink. He was like, kill him. And it was for 5 minutes. I was like, Jesus. Yeah. Like, that's a long gunshot. So at the end of the day, he was whack. He didn't do nothing. Like, I mean, he did join. I don't even think he joined in even on the shooting, right? He didn't. The other guys did.
No, he just drives there. And everyone else, he's like, shoot him.
Yeah. And then he does his speeches. Why don't you join us? And we have more money and blah, blah, blah. So again, I'm not even going to hold this up. I gave him 1. He's whack.
Same. I gave him a 1. I don't think he's good. All he does is he'll go from being calm to yelling.
Yeah.
He just starts yelling. That's his character trait. The guy yells a lot. Let's take Christopher Walken. If he played the role the same exact way and had the same skills, but was the boss, this would have been a way higher score because he's cool in this movie.
Oh yeah. He's mad. Dope.
Yeah, I liked him. And he whispers too, but it seems like he got a vocal problem or, you know, like it's kind of a character trait, whereas Bruce Willis is just whispering just to whisper. So Walken would have got a 4 because at least he does stuff and he shoots and he's awesome. This guy, no bueno. 1. Didn't like him. I liked the Italian gang better. I thought they were more fun. Like Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos is one of them.
He was funny.
Yeah. So at least they had more, there's nothing distinct about the Irish gang except Christopher Walken, honestly. And they're the ones you meet first and they jack up his car and then he just shoots the one guy. Well, he shoots him and the guy goes, we're going to talk about it in action. He shoots that guy. So they're kind of whack. So we're in agreement. Why waste more time? Okay, action scenes. Let's get to this is what we're here for. We're an action podcast. What's the action?
The action is amazing. I'm not gonna look. Everything, this movie has problems.
Yes.
But one thing my man Walter here knows how to do is knows how to shoot action scenes. This has some dope action scenes. Now, it's over the top action, so I don't want people to understand, like, this is not no full-fledged, like, bang, bang, bang. My man shoots dudes, and they fly out the door, and they end up in the other building. Like, I don't know what, like, remember when Stone Cold stunned The Rock, and then he does, like, 20 flips before he lands? Yeah, he does, like, a flip and then a flip. This dude, in the beginning, flipped through the door, and then he just kept going. I was like, man, that's high velocity rounds we got. And then he shot other dudes that they were flying. And I was just like, man, I gotta say, dude, my favorite scene of this movie is the ending when he walks in and he just starts shooting everybody. And I was just like, okay, this is the scene, this dope, because he's injured and he's like, I don't give a crap. And he just walks in and he does that. There's other memorable moments here too.
Sometimes you gotta pay the bill.
Yeah.
Or whatever he says, you gotta take a bad situation and pay the bill.
Yeah. So I thought that was awesome. I like the scene with the Mexican that the cops, they tore up that car when they took all their alcohol. I thought that was actually a cool scene. Again, I don't think the problem of this film is action, to be really honest with you. I think the action had enough amount, and it has Bruce Willis action. That dude with a gun is dope. I was like, okay, he is, again, great with that. I gave it a 5. It's very over the top, but it reminded me of the Django Unchained. Yes. Remember how that was like way over the top with the blood palette? It was like, blah, it was like all over the place.
Even like a Hard Boiled or something like that, like a John Woo, you know, type.
Yep.
Yeah, this is, okay, you remember earlier I said there's no jokes, but I did laugh, and this is what I laughed at, that part you talked about. When he shot that first guy, I've never seen this movie, first time watch, and he shoots that guy, and he flies out the door. Like, he flies a good, and these are regular, like, handguns, and he flies, like, 12 to 15 feet. Then he rolls, like, flips over and rolls. Like, he went from inside the bar almost to the car, which was parked across the street. And I was like, oh, it's one of these movies. This is what we're doing, Walter Hill. This is what we're working with. And you know me, I am not the biggest fan of just gun action. Just guns. I like guns, but do something cool. But guess what? The over-the-topness made it a little cool for me. I said, okay, this is not going to be regular. These guys are not going to get shot and fall down. They're going to get shot and fly across the room. There's one part where he shoots the guy and he goes like flying into a mirror. That scene you said at the end is awesome. And the way it's shot, it's like the camera comes in over the shoulder and he has two guns all the time, like Lara Croft.
Yeah.
I love it. He has unlimited ammo. It's like a video game, pretty much, when he's shooting. Like, he got unlimited ammo. They do show him reload at that last part.
Yeah, with like 30,000 clips. I was like, holy hell. So it kind of makes sense.
That was cool.
Yeah.
You also had the scene you mentioned when they massacre the Italians and they get there and the place is all already on fire, but then they shoot them with the Tommy gun, like, type guns, and they're just like, they're getting shot like a million times. For me, if you're going to do guns, either do something creative or go all the way over the top. This chose the latter. I gave it a 5. I agree. The action is hands down the best part of this movie. It's not even close.
It reminded me of Desperado.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Like this, and these came out around the same time.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of the same, like, Robert Rodriguez type of shooting. So
I think Desperado had a little more flair.
Yeah.
But they're similar because there's people, the same thing. Remember, he shoots that guy on the floor and he goes flying. Like,
with the shotgun,
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And they're both in dusty towns. Like, this is like a Texas border town, and that's Mexico, which is pretty much a Texas border town. Mm. So, all right, what do we got for story?
Oh, Jesus. It's a 1. This storyline is horrible. And this is why. And yes, it does take from the other films or whatever, but it's the way they told it. Yes. I was bored. I don't know about you, Nate, when you give your score and you talk. I was bored. I was like, this movie is really dragging. It's really boring. And if it wasn't, and I'm going to be honest, if it wasn't for Bruce Willis, I don't think I would continue watching the movie. I would have paused it or shut it off and said, you know what? I'll give this thing a 0 across. But because if it is Bruce Willis, I was like, okay, it is what it is. But the way they told this story, the noir way did not work. It did not work. It did not work. It did not work. The Prohibition era did not work. It did not work. The action worked for this style of movie. If Walter Hill did this type of movie without the damn Kawasaki version of the damn storyline, they did whatever they wanted to do, I would have been like, this movie's awesome. Noir take. Because the Batman was noir, and everyone loved it. I mean, it was 3 hours long. Everyone hated that. But Batman talk, Bruce Wayne talk, that was fun.
Voiceover.
Yeah. I love voiceover movies. I think those are cool, and I wish they bring it back more. And we're getting a little bit of it. And I'm like, this is cool. This movie did not work. Oh, my God. It did not work at all. I didn't know what was going on at times because both mobs kind of looked the same. So I didn't know where we were going with. I gave it a one. I ain't kidding.
Yeah. I mean, you don't got to worry about where I'm going because we're going to the same exact place. Let me tell you about it. This is hands down, head and shoulders by 1,000 miles. The worst version of this story.
Yeah.
It's the worst version of this story. Yojimbo is amazing. I loved it. I had to read the whole thing and I still loved it. It's a classic. Fistful of Dollars. Fantastic. Has moments. Sure, because it's Western. You know, it's an old 70s movie, but a great telling. Here's my problem with this movie. It was hard to follow, and I've already seen this movie twice. I've seen this movie 2 other times, and I was still confused. And maybe it's because he whispers all his dialogue. You know, voiceover, for me, it can work. Like you said, the Batman, I love it in Watchmen. Like when Rorschach is doing voiceover. I like it in Carlito's Way. But then sometimes it works against. And this has like a bunch of voiceover. And then the characters interact. But there were times where I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's the plan. I don't know who's doing. And again, like this shouldn't happen in a movie that I've seen twice. I should just know the progression. And maybe they're telling it, you know, they're telling it in a different era with different actors, with different style. The other problem I have with it is that it is the same movie, but done totally worse. And I think, and maybe you'll agree, this, you could have made it in this era. It should have been set in like Chicago, in like a town, in like a hood somewhere. Because then it just, this still looks like a Western. They're in a dusty old town. Remember, he's driving up.
Yeah.
It says like population 51. Who? It's just a gang. There's no regular citizens there. So there's no peril for normal people, like the coffin maker and the bartender. That's pretty much it. You know what I mean? So it still felt like a Western. I wish they set it in a city. I think that would have been cooler. The Italian mafia, the Irish mob.
Like the Al Capone?
In the city. Yeah. In Chicago, the prohibition stuff. That would have made it a little more unique to me. So I didn't like it. I gave it a one. We were on the same page. What's your overall?
I'm giving this overall for action a two. It's a two. I'm never watching this movie again. I think it has one of the best. I will say this. It has one of the best shooting scenes I think I've seen in the film. I mean, it's not the best ever, but I think it's up there in terms of like if someone goes shooting scene, I'll say, oh, Last Man Standing, hands down, is a great shooting scene. Other than that, storyline is boring. Things were just not falling in line with the movie. I thought it was draggy. I thought the story, like I said, action was great. Bruce Willis was great as the lead, but again, he just goes under the whole Sleepy Willis that you called him last week.
Sleepy Willis in this.
Yeah, very Sleepy Willis. So I gave it a two for action and Willis.
Yeah, if you thought Striking Distance was a Sleepy Willis, this is like, I mean, this guy is, he's comatose. Willis. I gave it the same score as you. I gave it a two. That's mostly for the action. It's almost only for the action. Bruce Willis is asleep. He still does have a certain coolness to him. So I could see what you were talking about earlier. You know what I mean? And he looks cool in the movie. He does, like, he looks the part.
Yeah.
So that was fine. Christopher Walken is cool. So he'll get lumped into the two. I liked him. Bruce Dern as the sheriff.
Yeah.
It was okay. But this movie adds, like, it has all these women in it. There's not all these women in the, there's the one with the kid. And that's like a whole part of the storyline. But this, they're like adding, there's like Leslie Mann is a prostitute in here. And I'm pretty sure. Sure, Bruce, why is he always naked? Every time they bust in on him, this dude is naked.
Dude, he was banging a woman and they busted in on him. And I was just like, what is going on? Like, I was kind of low. And she kept yapping too. I was just like, okay, that
guy's. And then he's taking a bath and then they bust in on him.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why do you guys see this dude's butt all the time?
90s.
There's one shot of freaking, it looked like he got up right, butt cheeks right in the camera. And I was like, man, I don't need to be, I didn't sign up for this.
He said butt cheeks.
So we mark off for that too. Yeah, I gave it a two. This movie kind of sucks, honestly. And it's a shame. It's a shame because it's based on two amazing movies. Mm. And they just fumbled the ball. I was looking forward to it. I was looking forward to it. And it's not a movie I'll ever watch again, but I won't get rid of it because, like I said, it's in a two-pack and it's both movies are on one disc. Mm. So if I want to keep The Last Boy Scout, I got to keep this. And I like that movie better. So here we are. So what's your total point?
It's a 13 out of a 25.
We're close. The only difference was the lead because I have an 11 out of 25.
Mm, yeah, you so, give it a low, low score.
Yeah, well, Last Man Standing, this movie's not the last, this movie.
You know what kills me, though? Like, again, I'm not going to make fun of people. They buy what they want to buy, but they re-released this on Blu-ray. I just want to know how many people brought it thinking this is going to be like the best thing since sliced bread. You know what I mean?
People bought it because it was Shout Factory.
That's what I'm saying. Like, no one heard. I know for a fact no one heard of this movie. Like, I didn't hear about it. I know you did because you're more of a movie enthusiast than I am in terms of certain things. So,
yeah.
But you can't tell me that.
But this is not a common Bruce Willis.
That's what I'm saying.
There's more common ones. Like, some of the next two we're doing, I think, even if not everyone's, they're more well-known than this movie. Like, I didn't know this came out in 96. I thought it was before that, honestly, so.
Like, it's just weird. Like, for me, like, if I'll think of, like, Death Before Her, Becomes Her, or whatever it's called.
Oh, Death Becomes Her? Yeah.
Yeah, like, that one's a great one. And I think of Moonstruck with him and Cher, right? Was that him
and Cher? Bruce Willis is great.
Yeah.
So far, these first two movies have not shown what he's capable of. But I love Bruce. I love a bunch of his movies.
But this do show us action movie stars go, right? Because if you look at Stallone at this time, we got what? Assassins, Judge Dredd.
Oh, yeah. Right? Mid-90s was not.
Yeah, it wasn't nice too crazy for. Oh, Daylight with Stallone. Daylight. Right?
Yep, that was mid-90s.
Yeah, so then you look at Arnold Schwarzenegger, you got Eraser. Yes, yeah, Collateral Damage, End of Days. See, I know more of the Arnold movies because, I mean, yeah, so you have a lot of stuff. I mean, Kindergarten Cop was in the 90s. So
that was the early 90s. Yeah. I mean, if you're talking like 90 to 97, there's so many movies from like, and we're the next movie we're doing for Bruce Willis, which I'll say in a second, is a 90s movie as well. And then, like, I know we got Van Damme coming up. He was in the 90s a lot.
Steven Seagal.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Some are hit, some are miss. I liked that Striking Distance movie, even though I think it sucks. I liked it.
It was all right.
This one is the opposite. Like, I think it sucks, and I also hated it. So.
I will agree with you on this. Striking Distance was way better than this one.
It's way more entertaining.
Better. Yeah.
It's never boring. So, anyway, 11 and a 13, Last Man Standing, not great. But if you love this movie, that's cool. That's fine. All right, now, here's what we got coming up. We got a special guest next week. We will be with our buddy Rich from TurnerFan77. We're going to be doing Empire Strikes Back, the next in the Star Wars franchise. But the next Bruce Willis movie is a little movie called The Jackal. I don't know. Our buddy Evan told us this is apparently based on a character from the Jason Bourne novels. I don't know. I got to do a little more research. But if that's true, that's pretty cool. But we're going to be having some Bruce Willis and Richard Gere. And Alex, this is the movie I mentioned to you before. Bruce Willis is actually the bad guy.
Oh, yeah?
So this is, I think, one of the first times where we're doing a action star month where they're actually the villain in the movie rather than the hero. So that's what we got coming up on the next two episodes.
With that said, you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. He goes live every other week on the Nateflix Reviews on Instagram. Now, in terms of Action Movie Guys podcast, you can follow us on Geeks and Flicks on Instagram. Now we go live every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Not every Sunday, every other Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern. With our new segments and stuff. You guys could chime in. You could talk to us. Talk on the chat. Have fun there too. Just subscribe and you guys could talk to us on the chat. That's the only way you guys could talk to us if you subscribe to the Geeks and Flicks channel. Other than that, you guys can head over to our official website, www.geeksandflicks.com. Other than that, he is your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.